Welcome to Alternative Dog Moms Podcast. I'm Kimberly Gauthier, the creator of Keep the Tail Wagging. For the past 9 years, I've been blogging about raw feeding, pet wellness, and life as a crazy dog mom. I've seen massive improvements in my dog's health since I started raising my dogs naturally, and I'm passionate about sharing my experience to help other pet parents.
I'm Erin Scott. For the past 9 years, I've been researching and learning everything I can about healing cancer, allergies, autoimmune, and mystery illnesses in both my dogs and myself. And I can't wait to share with you everything I've learned on this journey. As the Alternative Dog Moms, we're bringing you all the latest dog health news that we're following and sharing the tips, tricks, and resources we learn along the way. Now, let's get started. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Erin. How's it going?
I'm all right. I have a somewhat bored-seeming Nessie here, so...
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes.
I know. It's like you're still in your seat, so...
So that's an improvement, yeah.
So how are things going with her?
In some ways, I think we're getting into a good groove. We've had some small victories. I'm very proud of her stay. So I can put her on the sofa, tell her to stay, and then I can go move Nino around and outside and give him medicine or whatever I need to do and move him back. I can leave the room, be out of her sight, and she doesn't move a muscle.
Oh, nice.
So I'm very proud of that. And we've been doing some stuff in the house on the leash. And so we've been working on like a relax command. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the Ravens lost. But the day of the big Ravens football game here in Baltimore a couple weeks ago now, I was able to have her on the leash on the sofa. And Nino was with Tim on the other end of the sofa. And we all kind of hung out as a family and watched the football game. And that lasted for a while until the Amazon guy showed up. And then everybody kind of got all worked up and we had to go take a break. But it was the first that we were all got to be in the same room on the same piece of furniture.
Nice. You know,
we had the sectional. So it was like, I'm on one end, they're on the other. But
so the training is going well, the virtual training?
Yeah, somewhat. We're definitely going to do the in-person class too. I felt like it escalated very quickly and I'm still like on the week one stuff, but you know.
Yeah,
but I'm very proud. She's so smart and I couldn't ask anything more of her. And I feel like Nina's still having some temper tantrums. I have in this room that I'm in, it's Tim's office, and we have little trash cans, and all of our like bedroom and bathroom trash cans are the ones that you have a little like lever and you have to lift the lid because Nino used to eat tissues out of all of them. So he had to go get covered ones. Well, now both of them have just learned to just knock the trash can over and spill all the trash out. And we can tell from the poop piles that somebody's eating tissues again, you know, and then like if there's any kind of like let's say there was a paper towel that Tim had, mm-hmm. like a piece of food on or something, it's like somebody's chewing up the paper towel or the bag or wrapper or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like in the bedroom I had to just move the trash can like up on top of something, so I feel like there's some orneriness going on, but
yeah,
overall I feel like we're at least getting into a good group.
It's been 3 months, right?
Almost, yeah. It like 2.5, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's cool. Bella has been with us for a year and some months, and she is my angel. She is such a sweet girl. I posted a picture the other day of her humping Apollo. I keep wanting to capture a picture of it, and I finally did. I just think it's so funny because Apollo looks so unbothered. Like he's like, here she goes again.
She just used to hump Nino, which was hilarious.
Yeah, it's just so hilarious. And it's something she does when she gets really excited outside. And she only, what's funny, she only does it when they're in their yard. If we're out and about where there's more space, she's fine. So she's so funny. I figured out that when she gets really, really worked up, and so it's not, it looks like anxiety and fear, but it's just a lot of
arousal
energy. That yeah. Stuff is going on inside. She has a safe space. So in one room, it's this dog bed or a sofa. In another room, she goes to a place and she sits And so when she's, and she won't come, you can't get her off of it. Like no treat, no nothing. Like you can still play with her, but you have to play with her in that spot. And you have to wait until she sort of winds down, then she'll start moving and she'll leave the room and stuff. And the third thing is she has officially said no to the Centennial Trail.
No.
She will no longer walk on the Centennial Trail. So now only Apollo and Zoe go on the trail. And I was going to get a sniff spot because I was like, well, this will be fun. I'll take her to a sniff spot. But I realized it was actually Saturday. And I was like, I wonder if it's too late for me to get a sniff spot today. And then I was just like, my friend lives on 15 acres. So I texted her to say, hey, are you busy today? And she was like, yeah, why? And I was like, because I'm going to use your property as my very own dog park. And she was like, fine. And so I went up and it's funny because I got there. She thought I was someone else arriving. And so she just opened the door and let her dogs out. And so I ended up walking around with six dogs.
Oh, wow.
And it was so much fun. Just it started with five because Drake didn't come at first. So we had, there's this very steep hill and it's a nice walk. It's a easy walk, but it's a nice walk. And so we went up and we're walking and everyone's doing good. Everyone's listening well, everyone's getting along well. Zoe, I wasn't going to bring her cause she's not a fan of other dogs, but she was so excited at the thought of us leaving that I could not leave her behind. So I was just like, well, we're just going to hope for the best. And she did absolutely phenomenal. But what was really funny is that my friend's dog, Graham kept, was just very interested in Zoe. And Zoe was not interested in Graham. So Zobel, Graham's a lab, a yellow lab. Zobel is a German shepherd. Zobel, every time Graham started, sniffing around Zoe and Zobel saw that Zoe was starting to get, like she would be okay for a second. But then when he realized she was starting to get agitated, he would come in and just push Graham away. Or he would like, or he would like playfully like growl at him and just sort of like mouth his neck and just like push him out of the way. And then he would just go on. And it was the cute, and I got it on camera. It was the cutest thing where he kept doing that. And so we did a walk and another one of my friends, she came home and we all walked again. And I did the lap twice with all of the dogs, including Zoe, but then I put her in the car, which she didn't like, cause I wasn't sure how she would do on a third walk. Cause she's getting older. And so I didn't want to overdo it, but it was fun. And so now that's what I'm going to do once a week is just show up at my friend's house and walk my dogs.
Oh, that's a good idea. It's funny. I had been looking at sniff spots in my area because I'm like obsessed with this idea that I need to get Nessie doing some kind of like dog sport thing, even if it's not like an official competing thing, but just doing something with her. So we had the big Maryland Pet Expo here a couple weeks ago, and they have some different like dog sports set up where you can try them with your dog. Now, Nessie at this point is not a dog I could bring to some big crowded area with all these other people with all these other dogs and all these other people not watching their other dogs, and we've talked about that.
Yes,
but there is a dog sport called lure coursing, and this was
I've wanted to try that with Apollo.
So you can buy home versions, but I feel like our backyard would still be too small. So I was like, if I buy this thing, I need to get a sniff spot and set it up or something and let her like run after this thing. Cause I was like, oh, she would kill this. That's exactly what she needs, as much of a prey drive as she has. So we're exploring some options.
Oh, that would be so much fun. So yay.
And I got to meet Pat Miller, the famous dog trainer.
Saw your picture and I actually showed it to my friend because I was like, tell me you're a nerdy dog mom without telling me you're a nerdy dog mom. I was like, you look at her face. She looks like she's standing next to Tom Cruise or I don't know, name any other famous actor. I'm sorry. What is it? Jason Statham.
I was very embarrassed to ask for a picture.
It was the look on your face. Like literally, I'm like, I don't know who this person is. But the look on your face tells me that it's someone important because you were just in like heaven. It was so funny.
Well, she's like one of the godmothers of like the positive dog training movement. And she's actually based here in Maryland, but she's in like the western part of the state. And so I know a couple people that have like gone through some of her like trainings and courses, like as dog trainers and things. And so I had no idea that she was going to be at this event. Like it wasn't like advertised well. So I have a friend of mine, she's been on the Believe in Dog podcast, and she has a organization like for, it's called Kids for Canines. And she works with kids to train, like do dog training with shelter dogs and stuff. So I see that she has a tent, like a booth set up. So I'm like, oh, we have to go visit her booth. And I get over there and there's like a sign that says Pat Miller book signing 12 to 1 p.m. And it was like 12:30. And I go, oh my God, Pat Miller's here. And she turns around and goes, yes, I'm right here. And I'm like expecting there would be like this whole big, huge line of people. And there's like literally nobody there. Just like me, like, oh my God, Pat Miller. And then, so then I like end up buying like all these books. And then my friend's like, oh, you should get a picture. And I'm like, I hate like asking anybody for pictures, or I like never take like selfies or anything. And she's just like putting her arm around me. And I'm like, oh my God. The whole thing just like caught me so off guard. I was very unprepared.
Yeah, you were, it was your fangirl moment. It was so hilarious when I saw that picture. It was just so absolutely hilarious. Speaking of Jason Statham, so far I have blocked 15 Jason Statham accounts.
This whole thing is very crazy to me, like just very hilarious.
And we didn't talk about this on the last podcast, but we did talk about my love of the movie The Beekeeper, which I have seen twice, and I will go see it 10 more times. I found it extremely enjoyable, so much so that apparently one of my friends says he will never go to a movie with me again because he said that not only did I laugh too loud, but I laughed at all of the inappropriate things, and it was just a scary and unnerving for to see me have such enjoyment of violence. But, you know, it's Jason Statham.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
It's a Jason Statham movie. You know what you're going to get.
And I'm here for it. Inside, a friend of mine went to see it this week. And she texted me and she goes, I loved it. She was trying to convince her husband to go. He wasn't interested in going. But she changed his mind. And so they went. And he said he didn't really like it because it just made no sense. And I just texted her back, tell me you have never seen a Jason Statham movie without telling me you've never seen a Jason Statham. And it's like, that's not the point of a Jason Statham movie. It is to just completely unplug and just have fun. It's like going really, really fast on a motorcycle, on the back of a motorcycle. It's not probably the best thing to do, but it's enjoyable for the time that you're doing it. But yeah, so I saw on Facebook, because I am a follower of his official fan page, and that, you know, he was like, thank you everyone for making The Beekeeper, blah, 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 blah. And I commented, you know, you truly know, I think what I said, I was like, you know the assignment because you show up and you deliver every time. I've already seen it twice. I think it's the best movie of 2024 so far. And other people even responded like, really? You've seen it twice? Is it that good? I was like, yeah, it's that good. And other people were like, yeah, I'm there with her. But also I'm getting comments from Jason Statham, both Jason Statham and then Jason Statham spelled incorrectly.
Jason.Statham. Jason, yep, underscores. Exactly.
And I did have Jason O. Statham followed my Facebook page, but he hasn't said anything yet. Jason Statham profile was blocked. But yeah, so basically for a while, every couple days, I block one or two Jason Statham accounts because they basically either comment or send me a private message saying, hey, this is the real Jason Statham. Thank you so much for supporting me. Hey, if you want to talk, because I really like to talk to my fans, click here. Mm-hmm. And I just find it ironic that on a movie about people, someone being scammed because they clicked on a link, there's all these scammers that are trying to get me to click on a link.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, it's like, it's insane how many, I refuse to delete my comment, but I am taking quite joy out of the fact that there are so many fake Jason Statham accounts.
Like, are those real people actually doing that? Are these just like bots? Like, if there's a real people sitting around, like, I'm going to be Jason Statham. Like, I
don't know. I bet you it's a little bit of both. I do know that. I bet you it's a little bit of both, but it probably is mostly bots or some type of, just like the movie, some type of spammer farm type place.
Yeah.
There is a woman, I don't know. Did you watch Stranger Things?
That's
my answer right there.
Some of it, not all of it.
I won't go into the details. I'll just say a character, someone created a fake social media account based on the actor for a character in Stranger Things. I think that the third season, I think. And duped a woman out of like $10,000. She like left her husband. I don't know what happened, but it was proven to her that this is not the actor. She still would not believe that she wasn't in a relationship with this actor.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So that's why I say it could be real people, but it could be also just, I don't know. Who knows? Okay. Back to food and dogs and stuff like that.
Before we get any more complaints.
I know, before someone complains. They talk too much about TV and stuff. Okay, yes. So last week we spoke with Chan of Oncotech, and he graciously offered to send both of us kits, and you received yours. Mine might be in the mailbox, but I'm assuming I'll get mine this week too, and I'm excited. So which dog are you testing?
Definitely Nino.
Yeah. I'm testing Zoe. I do want to test Apollo eventually as well, but I'm definitely testing Zoe. And I'm not anxious about it, but I'm kind of like, I don't know. I look at my dogs, because I think Johan and I were talking about Scout earlier today, and the fact that when he was diagnosed with cancer, you know, he had had cancer. And we don't know for how long before it actually started showing up in his lymph nodes.
Right.
And then we got confirmation. So it's just sort of like, you know, if I could have tested, if I could just set aside, you know, that's definitely a test that I would want to do on an annual basis, especially since my pet insurance premium skyrocketed.
Oh,
I've been seeing people talking about this, but when I got the email this morning, I was absolutely shocked. $385 a month for three dogs.
What was it previously?
I think I was at like maybe $225, $250. And I thought that was a lot, but I also had like a low deductible and a high percentage back. So I was just like, no, okay. But yeah, $385.
That's insane. I mean, that's a car payment.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It's like it was more than my previous car payment. So I made changes to the deductible and the percentage I get refunded to, because I was like, my goal is to get it below $300 a month. It's just like, I cannot afford this over the long run, especially since my issue is paying that much and having my dog just be healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, basically being super lucky and my dog just lives a long, healthy life and I'm paying this just in case money. Yeah. It's like, that's a lot. I mean, and when I think about it, like the number of people but you know, it's so pressured upon people to get pet insurance, you know, get pet insurance. So, cause you never know what'll happen. And for us, for the rates to be that high, I mean, they basically I guess a lot of industries or, you know, segments of the pet industry is making pet ownership something that only a certain class of person can afford to do.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I mean, it's just, it's insane. And I mean, I don't know anyone that can afford that. And then when I posted about it, I'm hearing from people who are spending over $200 on one dog.
I haven't ever had it.
Like with no issues. It's not like they have a bunch of claims.
Right.
Yeah. I was tempted to get rid of it, but having gone through Scout's cancer, having it allowed me to do everything that I wanted to do. I didn't have to make any decisions.
Right.
And it got us that, you know, we could afford to just do everything. And I am lucky that I have a good job, and so I can pay for this. But I will definitely, as time goes on, rethink. I'll be thinking twice about pet insurance. And I'm considering looking. I guess Costco has a pet insurance plan.
Oh.
Someone was telling me about. And I have to go do a Costco run this week, and I'm going to talk to them about it, because that might be an option as well. But I mean, I appreciate, you know, Embrace is a phenomenal company, but no, I mean, more than $100, especially on a puppy. Ella's a puppy. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, granted, anything can happen, but usually the puppies are the low, you know, that's,
right.
They don't start going up until they start getting older.
Right.
And so, yeah, so shocking.
Yeah, I've been on the fence about it. I mean, there's definitely times where it really would have, you know, come in handy. And, you know, years ago, 15, 20 years ago, it always sort of seemed like a scam almost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it does seem like at some point over the last 10 years or so that, you know, there's more options, there's more plans that are actually, you know, somewhat beneficial to people. I know people for whom, you know, it's been a big lifesaver. There's definitely a couple of times when like it really would have been handy for us to have had. And so I've thought about it a lot with this one, because I feel like with Nino being 10, I don't know that it's, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know that he could get a plan anywhere. I don't know that it's cost effective. Yeah. And, you know, Tim and I were looking at it almost more from like the catastrophic coverage situation, you know, more than like I want, because, you know, with the vet we work with and, you know, the things we do, I don't know that there are any reasonable options out there. But like, yeah, if it could help with like, you know, God forbid something happens and you're having that $10,000 vet bill or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, and what I loved about, or what I do love about Embrace, is that they covered both holistic and traditional. So they covered his acupuncture. They covered his herbals medication. I even found out after the fact that they would have covered the CBD oil that I was buying for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they have really good coverage, and their customer service is, so I was really hesitant to leave. So, and when I contacted them, they were completely understanding. So I'm sure they're probably getting contacted by it. Like, what?
Well, I'm glad they're being kind in their customer service and not jerks about it.
But it's just like, and he did. He sat there on the phone with me, and we just played around with the numbers, because I was like, this is my goal. And so we played around with the numbers to see how to make that happen. And we did, and we're good to go. But yeah, it was fun while it lasted, because I'm grateful that that's not, I mean, because I did hear from one of my friends said something about how she just has a special savings account for her dogs, and then they use care credit if there's an emergency. And it's like, that is another option. But it's just, oh my gosh, just so, I just think about people who right now, I've been thinking of, I'm getting a lot of messages. I get messages probably about two or three a day now from people who want to feed raw and just can't do it. And some of these messages are truly heartbreaking, where people are like, I am doing the best that I can. I need help. I cannot do this because the cost is so much. And I know I need to do this. I know I need to feed my dogs better, but I cannot afford this for, you know, two big dogs or three big dogs. And you think about, you know, raw feed, you know, wanting people to feed, whether it be raw or cooked, or just a higher quality kibble, plus pet insurance, you know, plus just the taking care of dogs. I mean, and the thing about it is that the supplement industry, they're having everyone convinced that we need to get every other supplement to keep our dogs alive. And it's just really, I have not recommended kibbles more in my life, where I'm just telling people, try kibble with fresh food and slowly, instead of trying to do this cold turkey switch to a diet that you can't afford, do kibble, you know, get the best quality kibble you can afford, add fresh food, and then work your way into raw feeding, because that's what worked for me.
So I actually saw a post, I meant to send it to you. It was probably 2-3 weeks ago now, that was going around like the Baltimore rescue community Facebook pages. And it was basically like that somebody was trying to rehome a white pit bull that had massive skin allergies. And this guy had been trying to do all these different things to help the dog. And basically, like, the only thing that ever helped at all was trying to do a raw diet, but he couldn't afford it. He's like, I'll be really honest, I can't afford to do this. And he wanted to rehome it with somebody who could afford to do raw, because it made the dog, you know, because the dog's quality of life was so much better. But he just like, I can't afford all this vet treatment and all this stuff. Yeah. And that was heartbreaking to me. And, you know, with the organization I volunteer with here in Baltimore, you know, a lot of what we do is providing vet care. It's conventional vet care. But, you know, I mean, we get that contacted by people, I mean, constantly, who, you know, can't afford things, and what are there options that will help pay with vet bills other than care credit? You know, are there grants? Are there this and that? I mean, it's really crazy. And, you know, it does make me think about like the access to care issue and it being like, you know, an equality issue, or, you know, like, should it only be that, like, you know, it's a privileged few who can like afford to have pets. And I think that stuff is very much a part of like, yeah, what I see a lot because of the volunteer work we do and stuff.
Yeah. I think this is the first time I've been really faced with it. And it's just really, you know, I think in our country, we talk a lot about privilege. And it's like the amount of privilege I have is staggering when I think of what I can do for my pets. And, you know, the fact that, you know, a week ago I put up a video, or, you know, on Instagram of my freezer and my pantry. And now I feel so embarrassed for having done that, you know, because I was just mostly showing this is, you know, staying organized and things like that. And now I'm just like, I have another video to put up and I can't put it up, because it's just sort of like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel like those, you know, ladies showing off their Stanley cups. Where it's just like, are you kidding me? And I know that, you know, everyone has, you know, different levels of what they can do. And what I do is, I mean, it's not that I'm going and spending, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on things. I'm just very focused on shopping sales. I grew up with a baby boomer. I was raised by a baby boomer. So I can follow the sales and I know exactly where to go to get the best prices.
And most of the baby boomers were raised by Depression era people. Yes, and have a lot of that mindset. We were talking about that with my family the other night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like I actually spent a day, I took a day off because I wanted to better understand what was available in my area. And I actually drove from store to store with a notepad and priced out everything so I can identify where the best prices were, but then also keep in mind like gas. So yeah, I can drive down to Everett and get like Cornish game hen for $3.25. However, I can get it, you know, so that's like I think it's about a 20-25 minute drive. But one way, it's about a 20-minute drive one way. Or I can drive 5 minutes from here and get it for $3.85 a pound. And, you know, it's, you know, balancing that out, looking at the food. Like, for instance, someone told me years ago that they got a lot of their food from Costco. And when you look at the price per pound of meat at Costco, at least at Costco where I am, that's just not a viable option. because it is just the meat. I still have to go and buy the organ meat and buy the bone. But when I get it through the co-op with everything together, I'm spending less than what I would get at Costco. So that's just not a viable option. And it's just like understanding and working out those numbers. And the fact that a lot of the grocery store meats, like they have at our outlet store, whole rabbit, but it's for human consumption. So it doesn't have the organs, it doesn't have the fur, it has a bone, but I would still have to get the organs and stuff. So it's just like, is it really? And it's still crazy expensive. Oh my gosh, it's insanely expensive.
Yeah. Once every couple of years, Tim will buy a rabbit from a local farm and he'll do like a bacon wrapped rabbit. I don't eat it. He usually shares some of it with the dogs. Yeah. Not the bacon, but the rabbit. But I guess, you need that bacon for the fat and all.
Yeah. I've been tempted to, have you seen those, like those meat services?
Yeah.
Where it's great. I've been tempted to check those out. I've been looking at them. And since a lot of influencers will have a discount code, I've been tempted to check it out, like do it for 4 months. Cause it's like, so much off of 4 months.
Yeah.
And do it just for the 4 months. Cause after 4 months, I would have so much meat.
Yeah.
And it would be like the one I was looking at, it would end up being $400 by the time it was, well, less than $400. It's $400 thing. And then I think it's, I don't know how much off. So I think it would drop it down to like $60 for, so what is that? $240. But I would have so much meat and I would get exactly what I wanted. And just, but then my thought was I was going to do this like for us, the humans, not for the dogs. But all of the freezer space that I have is for the dogs. We don't really have a lot of freezer space for meat, but I'm still thinking about doing it, like going through and cleaning out old stuff that's been in the freezer for years and hasn't been touched and making some room and just getting some of the foods that we do eat. And that way we can just stock up.
That's funny. You'd have to give up your dog freezer space. That's not happening.
I know, exactly. I've already given up plenty of the dog freezer. There's like a little tiny section that has hamburgers in it because we were buying burgers for a barbecue for actually a memorial. And Johan bought some. I bought some, but I don't think Johan liked what I bought. So he went and bought something different. And so we ended up with way too many burgers. And so I need to just start eating that, like have a burger patty for dinner, but or give them to the dogs. I think Johan would lose his mind though, because it's like everything else is going to the dogs. So we'll see.
Yes. Here's also two supportive partners here. These things.
You just don't understand. But speaking of, everything that's going on with social media. I got 700 new followers in the month of January.
Oh, wow.
On Facebook and Instagram, because so many people are interested in improving what they're feeding their dogs. And so I'm really excited about that. It's really, there's a lot going on that makes me sad. I want to say I'm so sorry to, I don't know her name's Kimberly, actually, Hera's owner. She's the dog that passed away recently that was eating a popular raw food brand. I won't go into who or what. I think everyone knows. But I do want to say that I'm so terribly saddened, because it's always sad when someone loses their dog. But I do think all of this discussion about diet that people have been having because of the kibble fiasco and now the raw food recall has made people... Or it's done the job of making people think twice about what they're feeding their dogs.
I mean, I remember going through this all with the 2007 with the melamine. That was the first time that it really was on my radar about like, what you feed your dog matters. Because before that, we just bought whatever at the grocery store,
Did you immediately change when during that time?
I believe we definitely changed. I mean, we still fed kibble, but like we changed to like a higher quality brand that wasn't like on the list of affected brands or whatever. Because I think we had been feeding one of the affected brands, if I'm remembering correctly. Like it was like kind of terrifying.
Yeah. What I remember is the chicken jerky and going into the pet store and seeing it just piles of it just on display and asking them, are you guys aware that there is a recall? And at the time I didn't understand. To me, I thought if there was a recall, that meant every lot of the product was gone. There was no certain, there wasn't a lot. It was just like, basically you need to take all of this product out. Cause I'm thinking of like, you know, when there's a recall of salad, even though I'm sure it's still a lot, but basically you go into the store and all the bag salad is gone. And so I was just shocked that I was just like, oh my gosh, they don't care if they're killing dogs. But that was I was already doing different things at that time, but there were times where it was kind of, for me, it wasn't an immediate change. It went back and forth, where not so much with the kibble and the raw, but with the other things, because it's never just the kibble and raw. It's everything. You have to make a shift in everything you do, because you start looking at everything differently. Right. Like the shampoo that you're giving to your dogs, or the topical flea and tick treatment. And you just start looking at everything that you're doing. And I was still doing rawhide chews.
Oh yeah. I mean, we used to do those too back in the day.
And what finally got me to stop giving my dogs rawhide, like I knew enough to never photograph my dogs with one. If I took a picture and noticed a rawhide chew in the corner, I would retake the picture. But I was not giving up my rawhide chews, because I was just like, nope, my dogs love them. It keeps them quiet for a period of time. One time Rodrigo, I don't know. Well, he obviously swallowed something whole. It was sharp. And he was doing the child pose stretches all day. And I Googled it, like, what does this mean? And it came back that maybe there's something, your dog is something that's basically irritating their gut and they're trying to get it to move. So I was about to take him to the vet, to the emergency vet. And they went over all of his symptoms with me, you know, look at his gums, do all these things. And they're like, how about this? Let's wait a little bit. And if he's still doing this in a few hours, then call us and we'll bring him in. And thank God, because what I did is they said, go take him for a walk and see if we can get this working through. And he went for a walk. He had diarrhea. It was horrible because it was super bloody diarrhea. So I'm convinced, oh my gosh, my dog is dying. I'm a monster. Partial of a sharp rawhide chew came on out with it. And then after that, he was fine. No problems whatsoever. And I never touched those things again. And I count myself lucky that it could have been so much worse. But yeah, it took a while for me to, I gradually shifted everything that I did.
Yeah. I think when I first heard about raw feeding, I couldn't afford it. And it took from 2008 to 2013, really, before I could afford to do the raw. But we had already started doing other things they really don't need all that heart guard. You know, like at first I would just do it like in the summer months, or I would just do it like every other month or something. And then I was, you know, and then like the flea tick stuff kind of the same way. And I just started really, you know, I'm going to read, I'm going to research, I'm going to look at all these things, I'm going to buy all the books, you know, and I knew diet was like the biggest part of that, but it took us a little while before we could get that together. Like, I remember we paid off Tim's Jeep in August 2013. And then in September 2013, we bought our first, thing of raw food, because I would buy like 30 pounds at a time.
Yeah, it's astounding.
It was a car payment.
So, I mean, I think it's funny because I know that everyone has their opinions. I have my opinions. You have your opinions. We all have our thoughts on what's going on. But I think if there is a bright side, it's that so many people are having the conversation about what they can do to feed their dogs better.
Yeah.
So there is that.
You just always hope that it's not, you know, to the detriment or things of others, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, Billinghurst Institute.
Yes.
We're taking a DIY raw feeding course. So where are you?
I think I'm about the same place you are.
I'm so surprised because I literally thought that I said, I bet you she finished it.
Oh my God, it's 170 videos.
I bet she stayed up all night and finished it. I won't look at how many videos there are because I'm afraid that if I do, I'll be like, yeah, no, I can't do this.
I thought I was like speeding along and then somehow I saw like, I was at like video 11 of 170. But now I'm like, wow, that's a lot to learn. And I'm very excited. And I like that there are quizzes.
Yes. Yes. So I'm starting the third one. I'm going to step it up because I was doing like a segment a week. I was going to do a segment a week, but now I'm going to do like two or three segments, or probably two segments a week. And so I basically put the computer next to my elliptical and I just turn it on while he's talking and do my elliptical. So that way I can kill two birds with one stone. And because it's so easy to listen to him. Mm-hmm. And I think what I appreciate is he's not boring. It's not like he has this monotone. And so far, what he's saying is stuff that I know. It's just sort of like reiterating what I already know, except for like when he went over his background and history. That was fun too.
That was very fascinating to me. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cool.
I wish he had said more of that when we talked to him because it was a good story.
That was just really kind of cool. So it's really interesting and I'm looking forward to just going into it. So I do it on Sundays. Sundays is my I have a very, very regimented life. And I don't feel that it's regimented, but it is. Because I'm that person that I like to do things on a schedule. And Sundays is, you know, like Sunday morning. I walk the dogs. I come back. I schedule out, you know, like part of the week of social media and getting that stuff done. I do some cleaning around the house, some laundry, and then I meet my friends at the brewery and I hang out there for about an hour to 2 hours. And then I come home, feed the dogs and go upstairs to do my elliptical, do whatever course I'm doing, do that. But this Sunday was different because my cat decided that he loved me so much that he needed attention. So I'm doing the elliptical and it's in like a spare bedroom. And my laptop is sitting on the bed. And my cat is standing on the edge of the bed and, you know, like getting ready, like to leap at me. And I'm on the elliptical looking at my cat like, oh, this isn't going to be fun. Because my cat doesn't, he will claw to hold on if he leaps at me. So I slow down and I just reach down and pick him up. And so now I'm doing the elliptical while I'm petting my cat and listening to Dr. Ian Billinghurst. And so I just feel like I am the champion of multitasking. Yay me.
Yes, that is quite. I will sometimes. Lately, I don't know what I did before we had Nessie. I feel like I must have had so much free time because I feel like I am just constantly like feeding somebody, cleaning something, prepping something, you know, like, and I'm just like, I'm exhausted. Like,
yeah.
And it just seems to take hours every day. And so I do put a lot of things on, you know, while I'm dog momming around the house or cleaning things or, you know, dishing out, you know, meal prepping for them or whatever. Meal prepping for me. I've been trying to make a big batch of my soup every week to take for my lunches for work because I was like getting annoyed at how much I was spending on lunch at work. And so I'm trying to be better about that. And Tim calls it fart soup, but I like it. It has cauliflower and broccoli in it. Yeah, so I like having, if I'm not, you know, I'm either listening to some sort of crime podcast or some sort of dog thing.
I know, that's basically what I'm doing is I'm listening to that and I usually listen to my book. So I have one of my favorite authors. I'm listening to one of her books, which I love it so much. I'm also repetitive And I read somewhere that people do this because it gives them comfort. So I listen to or read books on repeat. Like, I know books very well, and I watch TV shows and movies on repeat. So I'm in season 5 of Grey's Anatomy once again. Yeah, Izzy hasn't found out that she has cancer yet, but she's starting to show the symptoms because Denny is back, but he's not really there. But we don't know yet that he's a sign of her cancer. So he's a symptom of her cancer. So yeah.
I do have like a couple like comfort books that I'll like reread every once in a while or something. And like, I don't know, we've probably seen every episode of like The Office and Big Bang Theory and Parks and Rec, but we always put them on.
Big Bang Theory is really good. And yeah. I saw something somewhere, because I watched it, because it's on a syndication. So there's a certain time.
It's literally on somewhere, on some channel at all hours. Watch
it, and it's enjoyable. And I saw something where someone was like, it's just a very bad show. And I'm like, really? What? And when people say things like, you know, when people say that The Beekeeper doesn't make sense, I'm always like, what are your requirements? Because maybe my requirements aren't the same, because I'm very, very basic when it comes to what entertains me. And I think it's the reason why also is because, like what you said, I'm always doing something with the dogs. Like, always. If I'm not walking my dogs or cleaning up after my dogs or feeding my dogs or preparing food for my dogs or just entertaining my dogs, I am learning about how to do all these things better. And I'm backed up on courses that I need to take. I can't take on any more courses. Because I am so behind. After this one, I am going to finish Rita Hogan's food energetics course. And I feel like there's another one floating out there, but I think I'm just going to have to let that one go.
Yeah. She has her herbalism level 1 course.
Yeah. I can't remember if I bought it or not. So I need to go and look.
I want to do that one. I wish I love being a part of Inside Scoop, right? But it's like only on Facebook. And that's like super annoying to me to try to like listen to in the car. And it's like, I wish it was more of like a podcast feed so I could actually like pause it and like come back to it. And if I hit a bump, I wouldn't lose my place in the video because my phone went flying.
What I like about YouTube and podcasts is that, because I pay for YouTube Premium, is if my phone goes black, it still plays. So it's not like if I turn it'll still play. Where with Facebook, if you set your phone down, it'll just stop. And then when you come back, they're still going, but it didn't pause for you.
Yeah,
and
I have all those kinds of problems. So like, I love the like private podcast feed thing. If people can do that, because I have this huge chunk of time every day where I'm in the car, but like half the stuff I want to listen to, I like can't, listen to it. And I'm just like,
But yeah, I need my comfort TV because so much of my life. Oh, speaking of which, I got so insulted. I didn't take it personally. I mean, I recognize that it was a mean thing to say. It was just like, oh, that wasn't nice. But it also made me laugh so hard. But I think, I don't know if you saw that I posted that someone blocked me because of my opinion of Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Well, someone was upset because, they said people are, football fans are just having meltdowns over Taylor Swift and da da da. And I was just like, yeah. I was like, I'm sure some people are annoyed whenever the camera pans over the Taylor Swift during a football game, but I bet the bulk of football fans don't give a damn about Taylor Swift. And I was like, I really don't think they care. And she did not like that. I was like, and she was like, no, I am seeing the videos. And I'm like, but I was like, is it really the fans or is it the algorithm that's sending that to you? Because, and I just like, I was like, cause I'm not really into football like I used to be, but a lot of my friends are, and no one's talking about Taylor Swift. And she says that, well, all your friends only care about dogs. And the only thing you guys do is about dogs. What would you know about Taylor Swift and football? I'm not surprised you haven't seen this.
Oh my God.
And it was just like,
oh my God.
I was like, I collect rocks. I was just like, is that what you think of me? Like, I have nothing else going on except, I mean, granted, I appreciate that pretty much 99% of the stuff I post on social media is dog related.
But like, that's your thing on social media.
I know, it's just like, but I just thought that was so funny. It was just, and then she blocked me.
I have seen more people who are like, well, if you have a problem with Taylor Swift, then I have actually seen people who have a problem with Taylor Swift. So I don't know.
I
mean,
I just like, I don't really care about
Taylor Swift. I know. I said to Tim, like, I wish there were like certain topics or whatever, like keep, like, I wish I could just like hide anything Taylor Swift from my algorithm. I wish I could like hide anything. Like, after the Ravens lost to the Chiefs, I was like, I wish I could just, like, hide anything about that. Like, I don't want to see anything else about our loss.
Wouldn't that be nice if there was, like, keywords? You know, yeah. How
Like, I wish I could hide anything about an election anywhere.
Yeah,
about
Twitter
anyone.
Has, like, the trending stuff. If there was a way that Facebook would have the trending things and you can just, like, unhighlight. Like, yes. Nope, nope, and nope. I don't want to hear anything. You know, because, like, YouTube has a thing where it'll bring up videos and I can like, you know, I don't know, right quick, but it's like, you know, the dot, 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 you click on that and you just say, no, I'm not interested in this, but you also can say, don't recommend this channel to me ever again. And
yeah, I would like
I want more of that on Facebook. Don't recommend this to me ever again. Yeah. I'm not interested in it.
Like, I really do just kind of want my feed to be mostly dogs. Yes.
I mean, I like that. What's nice is that, you know, when a friend of mine, she and I were talking, I forgot what she said her feed was. Yeah, she showed me a picture of her Facebook feed. It was insane. Just like, for her, it made no sense. Like, it had sick kids in the hospital. And I'm like, did you comment on something? She's like, no. And I'm like, do you know someone with a sick child? She's like, no. And I'm like, why do you have there's three pictures in your feed. Like, right. It was like a grid. It's like, there's three pictures. She's like, I know. And I mean, it was like there were dogs too, but the dogs didn't trump the kid. It made no sense. And so, my feed is pretty much, not only is it dogs, but my feed is fun dog stuff. Like, I don't have any, and I maybe it's, you know, my New Year's resolution of staying in my lane, which I've only swerved out of three times so far this year.
That's a pretty good track record.
So I'm doing pretty good.
Very proud.
I don't see any angry dog trainers anymore.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Don't see it. I don't see the dog trainer fight. I mean, I do see dog trainer stuff, but also I don't really dive deep. I'll like read like, oh, and keep scrolling because that's not my lane. I hardly see anything except for just mostly actually, you know, cute dog stuff. And then I love comedians. So I have a lot of comedian stuff.
Yeah, I get a lot of comedian stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's pretty much what's my, well, this is my, and I'm also mostly on my Facebook page when I'm on Facebook. So that's what I primarily see. When I'm on my personal page, I don't really scroll. I just go and post something innocuous and bounce because every time the times that I, you know, strayed out of my lane was because I was on my personal Facebook and I commented, I don't think anyone cares about Taylor Swift. See, that was me. That was not my lane. Another time someone was saying something about Christians and I was like, nah, I'm a Christian. And again, not my lane. That wasn't my lane. And so I'm learning that unless it's someone I know very well, I'm learning that people, that was the other thing that she says, when I post things on Facebook, I don't post them to defend them, nor do I care about anyone else's opinion. And I was like, oh, okay. I understand. That's weird to me, but okay. Okay. So I'm learning that, you know, don't comment on other people's stuff unless I know them. So I don't comment a lot.
I never did.
it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not seeing any type of like the stuff that I saw last year all the time. I'm not seeing, I actually have to go and search things out if I want to know like an update on what's going on around the dog lover world. Otherwise, I don't see it. Well, That's all I got for you.
One last thing I just have to mention, since we mentioned Billinghurst.
Yes.
The Gussie Gut Treats. I just ordered a whole bunch more.
I cannot believe I forgot about those. Okay. I want to try them because my dogs go so crazy for them. I'm not going to, but I want to, because it's just like, really, guys, you've had treats before. But yeah, they are magical.
Yeah. I just ordered a whole bunch more because, like, I think Nino will like riot if we run out. Like, from the minute they were delivered to our house, Tim was like, what is in that package? He's been like, and it's like you said, I order stuff. We get real dog box. We get, you know, I order stuff all the time. He has never been like that obsessed with something before I ever even opened the box or the packaging or whatever. And so, yeah. So with all of our, with stuff with Nessie and with having to crate and gate and rotate everybody all the time, like that's how we can get him to do it, is with the Gussie Gut Treats. I have to break them into pieces because they're a pretty big size.
Yeah.
I have to break them into pieces because, like, as often as I need to give them to him, I can't give him whole ones every time. But, oh my God, he goes so crazy for them. I mean, Nessie seems to like them, and she's like, yeah. I think, like, she's just like, wow, they got good food at this house, you know? But, like, Nino, like, goes particularly nuts for these. So, yeah, I just ordered more to make sure that we don't run out because, yeah.
And I wanted to say this, too. They're made with regenerative heritage pork. And so on their website, it says Gussie's Guttables, which is what they're called, proudly features heritage regenerative pork exclusively, good Lord, from white oak pastures and Manuka honey from Wetterspoon. So then we made a custom fermented blend of prebiotic plants that support gut health in every treat. We want to create the most nutrient dense treat we could, or nothing at all. And yeah, my dogs really get a kick out of it. The ingredients are the white oak pastures, heritage pork, cabbage, dandelion, asparagus, sunchoke, Wetterspoon organic Manuka honey, and ancient sea salt. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like they're definitely like a best of the best.
We just finished our first bag and we're going to be starting our second, but I definitely will be buying more because those are the special treats. They're not the everyday treats. They're basically the treats I need when I need them to do something.
Yeah.
My dogs have decided, and Bella is confused by this. So she's sort of like, oh, am I not supposed to like the CBD oil? So everyone has decided they don't want the CBD oil. But if I go and get three of the treats, then everyone comes and they take their CBD oil because they know they get their treat.
Yes.
And so now that's become their reward for taking their CBD oil, because it's like, y'all getting the CBD oil.
Yes.
Because I'm convinced that it's going to keep you living forever. It's going to pickle you guys and keep you alive. So you're getting the CBD oil, but I'll give you a treat too.
Yes. Nessie gets CBD oil now, the one with the lavender. CBD Dog Health.
The Calm.
Yeah. So that we also, yes, use that for some bribing. Because Nino is very sweet now. Like, he's used to getting his CBD and he kind of held this like stick his like jaw out, like, all right, like, just do it. And Tim had to do a different method with her because she didn't like him coming up on her the way he does with Nino, I guess. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we definitely have to have treats involved with that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Okay. It's nice talking to you.
Yes, mostly not about dogs, but I know. Always a pleasure.
We got it in there though.
Until next week, guys.
Bye, guys.